just starting as low as under $10 a month, you can see why hundreds are making the move to AnywhereHost.com. Visit the website for all the hosting packages available at AnywhereHost.com or call toll-free at 1-888-863-4383. That's 1-888-863-4383.
The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
Welcome back to Subject to Discussion Live on LVRocks.com. Every Wednesday from 7 o'clock Pacific Time until 9 o'clock Pacific Time. If you're in the Midwest in Chicago, it's from 9 till 11. And on the East Coast, it's from 10 till 11, 12, 10 to midnight on the East Coast. Is that right? 7, 8, 9, whatever the hell it is. But now I'm having trouble with the time zones. Not only that the guests are screwing up, now I am. But and actually, I just booked my guest for next week. Papa Joe Chevalier will be on the program next week to talk about his career and the radio show, Chicago, of course, and other things. So, because he touches on just more than sports on his show, he hits everything, you know, the news, politics, things like that. So that'd be fun, and he'll be on the phone too. So that'd be very good. And like I said, it's Wednesday. The program is podcasted on LVRocks.com. Click on podcast up on the left-hand corner of the screen. It takes you into the area where all the shows are programs are podcasted on. And you can pick and choose which program you want. And also, if you go to the blog for the subject to discussion, it's subject2discussion.com. It gives you a recap of each program, and you can see if you want to listen to it again or not. I want to mention, first of all, that actually, I also want to get through this. The program is archived over on spankwagon.net, and Spankwagon's on every Friday from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. Pacific time on lvrocks.com. And email is subject number 2, discussion at lvrocks.com. And in a little bit, we'll be joined by Gary Butts. Gary Butts is the founder of a group called ModerateVoters.org. And we'll be talking to him about his group and hear what he has to say for himself. What purpose is that group performing? And he's in California, so he'll be able to give us a first-hand account of the election debacle for the Groper in Chief over there. And then in the week of Thanksgiving, the program is going to be moving days. We're going to be moving to Tuesdays. There you go. I got the phone number here for Papa Joe. Thank you. And moving to Tuesdays, I don't know what time yet. I think it's probably at 7 o'clock. I don't know if I'll go 2 hours or not because poor Amber, I'll be booting her back again. So we'll see what happens there. And because Mark here is abandoning the ship.
Not by choice.
Abandoning my ship. Where am I at with listeners today? The podcasts are still holding up. Not as many as last week. I don't know what happened. I think maybe a couple of the podcast directories may have dropped me or something because the podcast plunged a little bit from last week's show. Yes.
They shouldn't drop you as long as you're updating every week.
I don't
week.
Know, unless somebody reported a link break or something. I don't know. Unless it's sabotage. It's a conspiracy against this program. I don't know. And then I actually want to, last week, of course, I was on Wake Up America last Wednesday after this show, this program, I ran over to the KDWN studios and did the Wake Up America program for 2 hours with Mr. Mark Edwards. It was an honor being on KDWN. The hallowed halls of KDWN where Art Bell got his start. I mean, it was inexperienced. The studio does need some upgrading. They have all these old dials and stuff in there, and the tapes aren't like 8-track tapes. It's really, I'm like, well, this is like the Enterprise compared to what's going on down the street here.
You went and did terrestrial radio.
Terrestrial, yes.
So that may be why the podcast dropped.
Really?
Yeah, because that's blasphemy.
It was I gave LV Rocks several plugs, and Mark Edwards Diggs should be sending him a check because Mark Edwards uttered the words LVRocks.com, and he uttered the words subject to discussion. I was in tears when I was like, oh, he meant.
Wow.
That's the program. And he got it right. He mentioned he got LV Rocks right, too. Usually they screw one or the two of them up. Usually subject to a discussion, subject to the Democrats, you know, or something like that. But anyway, and how come you're leaving, Mark? Oh, Scully is asking you a question in the chat room. And so it was fun being down there. I like doing the program. I agree the illegals, aliens should be dealt with. You know, we should build a fence. I'm all for legal immigration. I'm against illegal immigration. We need to, you know, batten down the hatches here. And the only thing I disagree is, you know, rounding up 20 million people. There's got to be a process of that. So, but that's the only area I disagree. And then last night was the Wake Up America Foundation meeting over at the Cashman Field Center, and it was very nice. Frosty Woolridge was there, and he's an Italian guy. Oh, what was his name? Luca something. And he was there. He runs the Minutemen group out of, it's going to kill me. I didn't bring my notes. Somewhere in California. But it was a very nice meeting. About 400 something people showed up, so it was very nice. And so. And it was enjoyable. I enjoyed my walk into the KDWN studios. So I heard the harps playing when I walked in. So it was very nice. And I want to talk about the bombings in Jordan. Of course, all these hotels got bombed over there in Jordan today. That happened this morning, and actually late last night, suicide bombers carrying out nearly simultaneous attacks on three U.S.-based hotels in the Jordanian capital Wednesday, killing at least 57 people and wounding 115. They appears to be an al-Qaeda attack on the Arab Kingdom. Of course, we know about Jordan and close ties to the United States. The explosions hit the Grand Hyatt, which is founded by Chicago family the Pritzkers, Radisson, SAS, and a Days Inn hotel just before 9 p.m., a simultaneous. And one took place inside a wedding hall where 300 guests were celebrating a wedding. So horrible. Terrible. And U.S. counterterrorism official who spoke on a condition of anonymity said that the strong suspicion is that al-Zarqawi was involved because of his known animosity for Jordanian monarchy, and in fact, it was a suicide attack, one of his hallmarks. So, in February, U.S. intelligence indicated that UBL was in contact with al-Zarqawi, enlisting him to conduct attacks outside of Iraq. So, but all these explosions, those poor people over there, it's all they're talking about on the alphabet networks and, CNN and all that. And also, I want to talk about locally, we have a former county commissioner, Lance Malone, who is being sentenced. I have not been able to see his sentence. These news out here in Vegas, the local news, they sit on this stuff until the 11 o'clock news. You know, I mean, let us know what happened. Lance Malone got caught up in this sting operation involving the owner of the Cheetahs and Jaguars, which is now Scores, into bribing other county commissioners. And it started in San Diego, and he was found guilty there. He was supposed to be sentenced in San Diego today, and then he's going to go on trial later, I think next year, for the charges here in Las Vegas. And that's the thing. They used the Patriot Act to nail him. They used that. They turned on his cell phone when he was sitting in his car. You know, somehow they got the warrant or whatever the hell it is to activate his cell phone while it's not on, so they can hear his phone his conversations in his car. So I thought that was interesting. And then, like I said, the week of Thanksgiving, the program's moving to Tuesday night, so I'll know more about the time and how long the show is going to be on, the program is going to be on for. And that's my update about the program. And like I said, a little bit later, we'll be joined by Gary Butts of ModerateVoters.org. So that being said, I'll move on to the news to you. And who's that? Actually, we'll have our contest. We'll be ending this week for the season one DVD. Of course, last week I gave away two tidbits about my life, about me, I guess. My middle name is Michael. Is that one of them? Yeah, and then the other one was my dog's name, right?
I don't remember. I wasn't paying attention.
I can't remember. That's been a long week at Caesars, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I believe it was your dog and your middle name.
Okay, yeah. And then so at some point during the program in this first hour, I'll give away the last tidbit, and then in the last 20 minutes of the program, whoever's the seventh caller will win the season one DVD. So
I just don't get how your middle name and your dog's name are both Fido.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's not bitch. But anyway, now if anybody wants to call in and comment on the news, you can do so at 1-866-587-6257 before my guest comes online. Or you can call in and save Diggs the dime. It's 702-383-8120. So with that being said, we'll move on to the news to you. We talked about the bombings in Jordan, which is terrible. And then this is from today. The runaway held as a sex slave. A couple allegedly sold sex with captive over the internet. A couple in Phoenix, Arizona, held a runaway teen captive in a hollow bed frame for weeks and forced her to have sex for money with people they found on the internet. The 15-year-old girl managed to call family members for help while 18-year-old Matthew Gray and 19-year-old Janelle Butler were sleeping Monday night. The two were arrested Tuesday. The girl ran away from her El Mirage home in September and met the couple through a friend about 3 hours after she disappeared. They bound her and had her gang raped for hours, the police said. In a West Phoenix apartment, they imprisoned her in a dog kennel for about a week and threatened her with a gun. They sold her for sex dozens of times on the internet and forced her to hide in a hollowed-out bed frame covered with plywood. Man, this is horrible. She was tortured, no kidding, had a gun pointed to her head. She was told if she tried to escape or said anything, she would be killed and her family would be killed. So, man, what's with these people? Animals.
Hey, didn't she turn out to be a prostitute?
I don't know. I didn't update that. No, this was today. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, as far as I've heard,
well,
she was
still,
a prostitute.
Well, still, I mean, you don't deserve to be treated
like
that.
Well, yeah, I know,
that's horrible.
But you know, she probably wouldn't have been in that circumstance if she wasn't doing what she was doing.
Yeah, but hopefully she'll see the light or put these people, these animals away. I mean, God, am I 18 years old? Wow. Democrats keep two governorships. Californians reject Schwarzenegger initiatives. Democrats scored big in Tuesday's off-year elections, keeping their grip on the governorships of Virginia, which propels Mark Warner into higher status now for the president, the race for the president on the Democrat side. I think he's a good guy. He's a moderate. He's done a lot of cutting taxes. He's streamlined the red tape process for starting businesses in Virginia. I think everybody should take a look at Mark Warner. And also, I saw Bill Richardson on what was it, the Situation Room or whatever. They switched Situation Rooms on like 10 hours a night now. But he makes good sense too. Anyway, wait a minute. They won the governorships of Virginia and New Jersey with John Corzine replacing Mark McGreevy, you know, the guy who admitted he was gay or had a gay affair or whatever it was. And while Republican Schwarzenegger, the Groper-in-Chief's ballot proposals were soundly rejected in California, in Virginia, Lieutenant Governor Tom Kaine won the governor's race, defeating Republican Jerry Kilgore, a former state attorney general, despite a late-minute appearance by Kilgore's behalf by President Bush. Now, a lot of people in Virginia say they're upset. They did not want Bush anywhere near that race, and so, but because he's like kryptonite now. In New Jersey, John Corzine defeated the Republican businessman Douglas Forrester for the governorship in New Jersey. Blah blah blah. The race cost $70 million for a governor's race of some small little state that does not have a TV station. It's ridiculous. And now Corzine, this is interesting now. It's going to create a vacancy in the Senate because he's a U.S. state senator. He's going to be able to fill it himself because he's the governor of the state. So he'll be appoint a Democrat to replace him. So I think maybe that's a little fishy. A judge should do that or something. I don't know. And Schwarzenegger, all four of his ballot measures went down in flames.
Whatever your name is.
Whoa, who's that? Capping spending, removing legislators' redistricting powers, making teachers work 5 years instead of two before acquiring permanent status, and prohibiting public employee unions from using dues for political activities without the permission of their members. So all his bills went down in flames. And then Bloomberg, Mayor Bloomberg of New York City, defeated his opponent handily 5-1. So we'll actually have more about this with Justin Gardner from the Dunkelfin. He'll be on in the second hour. We'll go more over this and what it means for the midterm elections in 06. But, obviously the Democrats are doing well in these midterms. So, and then we had this from, where are we at here, from the Associated Press on Tuesday about gonorrhea rates fall, but other STDs rise. I wish this STD can rise, but oh well. Gonorrhea has fallen to the lowest level on record in the United States, while the rates of other sexually transmitted diseases, syphilis and chlamydia, are on the rise, federal health officials said Tuesday. The seemingly paradoxical findings can be explained by the cyclical nature of syphilis outbreaks and rise in risky sexual behavior among gay men. So chlamydia rose to 319.6 cases per 100,000 in 2004, up 6% from the year before. So all three diseases are caused by sexually transmitted bacteria, blah, blah, blah. We know all about this. And this is kind of puzzling me. Why are they putting these, making these ads? This is going to scare people. Kentucky Fried Chicken plans TV ads to respond to the bird flu. Now it's all that's just going to panic people not to eat the damn chicken. Why are they even announced that they're even making these commercials? They shouldn't have even done that. In coming days, it says Kentucky Fried Chicken will have television commercials ready to reassure customers that its chicken is safe to eat if there is a bird flu outbreak. The chicken chain said Tuesday it hopes the spots will never have to air, but is taking no chances in the face of a potential threat to business. Is it great? Why are they announcing this? It's just going to scare people about the damn chicken. And what about the Thanksgiving with the turkey? I wonder if Butterball is going to come out with an ad too, huh? Anyway, this next one was from Monday. Yahoo and TiVo to blend TV and web services. Yahoo and TiVo are teaming up to blend some of their services, a move that further fades the lines between offices and living rooms, TVs and PCs. Under a partnership announced Monday, the two will collaborate to offer Yahoo's internet-based content and services through TiVo's digital video recording devices. So that's interesting. Well, Yahoo is just a giant, and Google, I mean, good grief. I mean, these monolithic companies, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially Google. I mean, I wish I could trace my family tree, trace it back to one of those founders of Google, you know? Forge a family tree. You know, the share of that stock, Google's like $300-something a share.
It's kind of goofy because they actually don't have, if they went and sold the company tomorrow, they would not be worth that much.
Yeah.
They don't have enough theoretical property. They don't have enough equipment. They don't have enough tables and chairs and computers to actually have that much worth in the stock market, which eventually it'll drop down like they all do because of that. So
yeah. So anyway, what's going on in the chat room here? I'm getting hooked to internet radio. We like boring me, so we love you too. What's going on in there? Anyway, everything about the internet. You know, I was watching this thing on Dateline where they set up all these perverts with the internet. And that's the thing. You know, the internet's done a lot of good, yes. But, I mean, these perverts, I mean, that's why I'm saying, anybody has kids, you got to put the damn computer in the living room. I know it interrupts your Monday Night Football or, you know, you're drinking your six-pack, but put the damn computer in the living room. We should keep an eye on where your kids are going. Because if you watch that on Dateline, all these, you know, these guys coming in. One guy's I have a story in there. It's a rabbi and all this stuff. Oh, man, it was sickening. You know, and then you got the thing locally in Vegas. They did the same thing. News 13 did the same thing. And it's like they had hundreds of people showing up at this door for these kids. Anyway. Then this next one is also from today about those the rioting in France. France declares state of emergency. The French capital and suburbs, as well as more than 30 other cities, are covered by a new state of emergency decree that gives police sweeping powers to quell unrest, the government said. The emergency decree empowers officials to put troublemakers under house arrest, ban or limit the movement of people and vehicles, and confiscate weapons and close public spaces where gangs gather. I mean, that's going crazy over there, and a lot is these kids and these Muslims are going crazy, you know, and it's the haves versus the have-nots, you know. So, what is this? So I think we have a special guest. Don't we have a special guest?
Yeah, we might just have one.
Who's our special guest?
This is me, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, another Groper-in-Chief. Sir, how are you, sir? Very good, sir. I understand, Mr. Groper-in-Chief, that all your proposals went down in flames yesterday. How do you feel about that?
Don't be ridiculous.
Oh, ooh. No, I have the report here that all your proposals, everything went down in crushing defeat. What does that portell for your re-election next year?
Wrong. Outrageous. And I will repeal it.
Ooh. Now you're gonna come back. Now this special election cost the taxpayers of California something like $50 million. How do you feel about that?
I want to be the people's governor.
It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican, if you're young or old.
Listen to me very carefully.
Ooh. Well, yeah, we listen to you very carefully. Yes, yes. Your speech impediment and everything else. Yes. How is your wife doing?
Good.
Now.
How are you?
Oh, how am I? I'm fine, thank you. And now, keep in mind, the program's moving days now. I know you're a loyal listener to my program.
That's right, I am.
Oh, thank you very much. In a couple weeks, Thanksgiving week, the program's moving to Tuesdays, and so I hope you would join us then.
Yes.
Oh, and then keep in mind, next week, Papa Joe Chevalier will be on as a guest of my program next week at 7:30.
Yes.
Ah. Okay, Arnold, I think the interview is running out of steam here, so we'll bid you adieu for right now. We'll have you on maybe next week.
Absolutely. This time you can count on me.
Ah, I hope I can. I'm glad there's somebody I can count on in this world. Anyway, we'll move on here. And sorry, the radio show is in Vegas. No reaction to this. But that probably went over as well as the Muffet interview. cruise ship used sonic weapon Monday. Now, this is new. I didn't see this report anywhere else. The crew of a cruise ship, that cruise ship was attacked by the pirates. You know, Pirates of Penzance? I don't know. Pirates of the Caribbean? Maybe. The crew of a cruise ship attacked by pirates off the coast of Somalia used a sonic weapon to ward off the attackers. The device blasts ear-splitting noise and a directed beam. I mean, like, whoa, how can we hear about this? A sonic device known as a long-range acoustic device, or LRAD, is also known so-called non-lethal weapon developed for the military after the 2000 attack on the USS Cole in Yemen. So I thought that was interesting. You know, and these pirates, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, you know. And this also is from Monday. We had the... What? Not enough answers on the Arnold soundboard. Radio host charged with killing wife. Uh-oh. What'd Rolando do now? A Missouri radio talk show host was arrested on Monday on murder charges for allegedly poisoning his wife by spiking her Gatorade. That's pretty bad as it is. I think I add something to it. Her Gatorade with a chemical found in antifreeze. Yum. James Keown. Well, that's a dumb name. You know, what is he doing hosting a show? Anyway, I have a nice name, like Shauna Mack hosting it. You know, began poisoning his wife when the couple moved to Massachusetts in January 2004 after he lied to her about being accepted to Harvard Business School. He poisoned her. So, and radio station, something like WKLIK. It's like the click. So. Anyway, so it took her about a year, though, to find out that she was poisoned by this antifreeze. She was nauseated and vomiting, dizziness, a rash on her leg and everything. And then they found it was a ethylene glycol, which is a component found in antifreeze. So much for his career. Maybe I should apply for his job now. I heard that's open now.
Yeah, they were saying that he did that from, like, May all the way till, like, September. So
yeah,
it was over,
slowly.
Like, a huge amount of time.
Yeah.
Just kept spiking her Gatorade.
The antifreeze.
I mean, I thought about it, and I actually figured this out. If he was doing this the smart way, he could have just taken one Gatorade bottle, poured a bunch of antifreeze in there, and then wrote antifreeze on it.
Really?
Put her hand on it so it looked like she had her handprints, and then set it down next to her. And then he could have said, I don't know what happened. It seemed like she just accidentally drank out of our antifreeze bottle.
Amazing.
Now, see, this is the thing. This is the reason why these people always get caught. It's because they don't think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and what else is going on? I'm trying to keep what's going on in the chat room here. Blah 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 blah. Getting to the start of the Ernie stuff. Yes, the Schwarzenegger stuff was classic. Ah, this is more my favorite topic. Holy See files motion in Oregon bankruptcy. The Holy See is seeking to limit the scope of a deposition that the senior American at the Vatican, Archbishop William Levada, is to give concerning the bankruptcy of his former Portland, Oregon archdiocese, which was prompted by clergy sex abuse lawsuits. Lawyers for the victim's case said he had sought to have blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so they're saying that he can't answer some questions and not others. The sex abuse lawsuits are seeking more than $155 million in damage. Go. Wipe out that damn archdiocese. They got to start doing this stuff because, it just keeps going on. You know, that's what it's coming to. They got to wipe out these churches. You know, I don't know why that they're not holding the Catholic Church in the Rome and the Vatican responsible for this as well. I mean, it boggles the mind. Four arrests linked to Chinese spy ring. Now, where was this, that report on news? Four persons arrested in Los Angeles are part of a Chinese intelligence gathering ring, federal investigators said. And the suspects caused serious compromises for 15 years to major U.S. weapon systems, including submarines and warships. U.S. intelligence and security officials said the case remains under investigation, but it could prove to be among the most damaging spy cases since 1985, when John A. Walker, who passed Navy communications codes to Moscow for 22 years, the Los Angeles spy ring has operated since 1990 and funneled technology and military secrets to China in the form of documents and computer disks, officials close to the case said. So, I mean, this is from Bill Gertz from the Washington Times. You know, he's never wrong, you know what I mean? So, I mean, amazing, amazing. You know, the Chinese have been spying us for all these years and nobody's talking about it, you know? Let's talk about Natalie Holloway, you know, and all this stuff. So, anyway. And then we have cocaine traces detected in the River Thames. So much cocaine is being used in London that traces of the white powdered narcotic can be detected in the river, said the London Sunday Telegraph newspaper, citing scientific research which it had commissioned. It said an estimated 2 kilograms of cocaine, or 80,000 lines, spill into the river every day after it has passed through users' bodies in sewage treatment plants. That's nice. So, it extrapolated that 150,000 lines of the illegal drug are snorted in the British capital every day. That's just by the royal family, you know, or 15 times higher than the official figure given by the Home Office. So, wow, amazing. All that cocaine floating around in the river there in London. You'll be going over there next week, won't you?
Yeah. What's her name? That one supermodel just got in trouble.
Oh, yes, Kate Moss.
Yeah, she was. I saw a video of that. It was off of somebody's camera phone,
mm-hmm.
and it showed Mick Jones and her and a bunch of other people snorting coke.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's going on in the chat room about Rolando? Yes, he's not Mexican, he's Puerto Rican. Same damn thing. Didn't Puerto Rico break off from Mexico when the glaciers broke?
They're all Mexicans. They're just the Mexicans from the Northeast.
Oh, he's gonna be so mad. He doesn't listen to this. He doesn't listen to any of these shows. He doesn't even listen to his own damn show, I doubt. So we'll see.
If he's ever there.
Well, Diggs is. What show is he podcasting for, Rolando? Tap Out?
I don't think so anymore.
He says he is. He says, I'm doing his podcast tonight, actually. What podcast is he doing? I don't know. And you just need to learn the difference between the Mexicans and the Cubans. Yes, the Mexicans smell worse than the damn Cubans. All right. And then we have an issue of accountability. This is from the Chicago Tribune. From last month, the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of L.A. disclosed summaries of personal files of 126 priests accused of sexually abusing children, in some cases decades ago. It's a sickening litany of subterfuge as the hierarchy tried to evade rather than confront the problem. At least 245 priests, the nation's largest archdiocese, have been accused of sexually abusing children. The cost of the archdiocese of settling an avalanche of lawsuits could reach $1 billion, according to the Los Angeles Times. These instances of pedophilia are not merely an internal church matter. Each is a criminal offense. As such, each should have profound consequences for the offender and also for any church official who is aware of these crimes but enabled them to continue rather than promptly calling the police. And that should apply to the Vatican. They enabled all this to go on by encouraging them to keep the stuff quiet and move these priests around. Why aren't we holding, the world court should be holding the damn Vatican responsible for this, you know? Ugh. And victims validation, $22 million deal in priest abuse scandal stirs emotions, stuns parishioners. Some priests involved in the Hartford Archdiocese's $22 million sex abuse settlement had well-documented histories of alleged misconduct. In other cases, churchgoers were shocked by the news Monday that clergy members they had known and trusted for years had been accused of abuse. This is horrible. Among the 43 accusers, I think our guest is online. I think we'll be joined by Mr. Gary Butts. Gary Butts, are you there, sir?
I am.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And now, you're from moderatevoters.org. Give the listeners a little idea in a nutshell what the moderatevoters.org is all about.
Well, we're a site that is geared primarily to moderate type of people that are a little sick and tired of not having our views listened to and acted upon, and think that perhaps the people on the far right and the far left have had a little bit too much of the stage heretofore, and we'd like to kind of have our say every once in a while.
Absolutely. Now you're come from California, correct?
That's correct.
I just mentioned all those Schwarzenegger's proposals went down in flames. Now, how's that going over? Now, the state spent, $50 million on this for all the proposals that go down? I mean, how's that playing in California?
Well, I guess it depends if you're a Democrat or a Republican. But the fact that it lost, I think, shows you that as much as anything is that people are getting a little tired of having to go to this. I think is the third election that the governor has called in the last couple of years, or that we participated in. And I think it's not so much a voter fatigue is the problem. It's that the governor was elected with the idea that he was going to cooperate with the Democratic legislature that we have. We have a very strong Democratic Senate and Assembly. rather overwhelming number of members in both houses are Democrats. And for anything to get done in this state, you really do need to work with, in his case, the members of the other side of the aisle. Mm-hmm. And that was his original intent. He said that he would be working with the Assembly and the Senate Democrats primarily. And I guess after a while he kind of thought that maybe he wasn't getting what he wanted or things weren't going his way, and he basically said, well, I'm going to pick up my ball and run and go directly to the voters. And the voters basically said, no, you go back to the legislature mm-hmm. and deal with them like you're supposed to and like you said you were originally.
Yeah, I mean, he's deal with them like adults, like he said. And, you know, and another thing that bothers me, how much money is California thrown away on all these elections? I mean, they just had one for the governor. They booted out Gary, what's his name, Gray Davis, which
Gray Davis.
You know, re-election time, that's the referendum on the incumbents, not the, you know, rally around, get enough petitions, you could have an election and throw them out. I don't like that because it wastes, how much, that cost like $100 million for the state of California, didn't it, having that?
I don't remember the exact number, but mm-hmm. it was more than what was shelled out this last time.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, even though it is a lot of money, I think the voters were basically saying, look, go up there, do your job.
Absolutely.
Don't go whining to your constituents and saying you're not getting your way.
Mm-hmm.
Go up there and deal with the people.
Mm-hmm.
The people that he's complaining about that are no good and that he can't stand, can't work with, are the ones that these same voters elected themselves in their hometowns.
Mm-hmm.
And so these voters are not likely to say, yeah, well, sure, I voted my guy in there in Sacramento a couple years ago, but I really don't think you should deal with him, and let's go around him.
Yeah.
They're saying, go up there, do your job. You know, you're one branch of the government. Participate in it with a little give and take, and let's see if we can't all get along.
Absolutely. Now, question for the chat room. Why do you feel there is a need for a group like this?
Well, I think it's because we have, I was going to say that we've been underrepresented. I think that's being even charitable. I think in a lot of cases we're just not being represented. And the problem that moderates have, among other things, is that we're dispersed in the three different voting groups and the two parties, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. So we don't have unlike liberals that are congregated in the Democratic Party and the conservatives in the Republican Party, the moderates are the minority of the Democrats or a minority of Republicans, and because there's so many moderates as independents who don't get to vote in primaries for the most part, we really don't get our voice across. And so my idea of starting this organization was to wake up people, mm-hmm. Wake up, first of all, the government, say, hey, there's a bunch of us out here that are pretty unhappy with the way things are going, and we are a considerable amount of voters.
Yeah.
Pay attention to us.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it drives me nuts. I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I was at this Wake Up America Foundation meeting yesterday, and that's a group that wants to fight illegal immigration. Now, all of a sudden, that's starting to make some news now, mm-hmm. and now that they're worried about this bird flu coming in over the border and everything else. I think that's just election year pontificating by these politicians. They play to it during re-election time, and once it's over, they drop it again.
Well, when it comes to the Democrats, they have to realize mm-hmm. that, and some do, but more of them have to realize that they just can't get elected by I hate to say pandering, but appealing, maybe mm-hmm. the better word, to the far left and the base, as it were, that there's just not enough bodies in that number to be able to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, way back when, in Richard Nixon's days, he had an old saying that when you run in the primary, you run to your extreme, and then after the primary, you run to the center. And that's basically just saying what we all know pretty much is that the far left and the far right turn out in primaries, and you appeal to them, and then once that's over, basically you abandon them as much as you can get away with. and then you start courting the people in the middle that you couldn't stand or work with during the primary. And after a while, it gets to be a game, and the voters, maybe the voters don't know exactly the reason why it's happening, but the moderates are saying, well, gee, how come we basically got ignored in the primary, and now all of a sudden in the generals, we're of such interest to these people. It's no wonder there's such cynicism towards the politicians, because one day you're in with them, and the next day it's somebody else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think what, especially on the Democratic Party, the far left people have to realize, and Bill Clinton did a great job of doing this. He went to them and said, look, wise up, people. You're not going to be able to win on just far left votes alone.
Exactly.
We're going. He addressed the issue right from the get go, right from the beginning, and said, you know, you're not going to like me on this, and you're not going to like what I say about this, and you're not going to like about me about this and that. But at the end of the day, would you rather have a Democrat in the White House than a Republican? And for the most part, people kind of sucked it in and said, yeah, well, that does make sense. We'll eat our pride a little bit and understand that 70 or 80% of loaf is better than zero.
Yeah.
And as our electorate becomes maybe a little more savvy and understands this issue, hopefully people will come around. And I think people, the far left people, will say maybe the moderates aren't such a bad lot after all. Maybe we should work with them and put on a joint package with them of Democratic ideals to appeal to this huge, huge amount of moderates that are in the middle that basically are just begging to be courted to participate in our elections.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's my thing. I've been, you know, in this town, you know, people in the chat room know that I've been, for years, I've been pounding drums about voter registration, I used to be part of a wrestling promotion here in town, and the kids, I used to, you know, try and get them registered, and the fans, it just, you know, they see all this, you register people, and they see all this BS going back and forth between these politicians, and they say, why am I even bothering to vote? Because they're all crooked. The Democrats and Republicans are all a bunch of crooks. It's crazy. Like with your group, how do you encourage people to sign up when they see all this BS going on?
Well, we haven't focused so much on getting people to register to vote. Mm-hmm. My biggest concern with moderates and people have I'm not the first to have brought this to light, but it's why moderates don't turn out in the numbers that those on the far left and far right do.
Mm-hmm.
I've had so many conversations with so many people over the years as to why is it that these people just don't turn out near the amount percentage-wise that the people on the far left and the far right do.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a real good turnout of moderates, or maybe even a little bit above normal, I think moderates as a whole could really make some inroads in a lot of places. But whereas the people on the far left and the far right are really energized, if you noticed when President Bush was in Virginia, Monday.
Yeah, he was the kiss of death.
They said that one of the reasons he was there was to energize the base or the far right to turn out. No, I heard no one say he's there to energize the moderates.
Yeah.
To turn out.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, there's not a prayer that those people are going to show up, and it's not worth bothering with those people, and even if we gave them a free ride and $10 to show up, they're still not going to show up, so we're not even going to bother with them. That's how blatant it's gotten to be, that we're going to worry about turning out our base, and the people that are in the middle that could really, the swing voters, as it were, well... We'll cross our fingers and hope for the best.
Well, I mean, and then like with your group, now you're moderate. Now we have a lot of look on the internet. I don't know if you've been to the Moderate Voice blog. I believe you have an ad up on there with Joe Gandelman. I mean, there's more and more of these turning up. And then I don't know if you saw Lou Dobbs the other night, but he had a poll about of a third party and won like 88% of the poll. And then somebody else ran. I think Bill Riley did another one. And but it's going to take a third party. But I don't know who's going to come up with the cash to fund it, huh?
Well, I don't really think a third party stands any chance whatsoever.
Hmm.
And I saw an interesting poll that I wrote in my blog about a couple days ago, maybe last week or something, somebody interviewed or did a survey on moderates and basically asked them what their position was on, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 different issues.
Hmm.
And if you took the results of that survey and matched them up to what Democrats as a whole believed, it was almost identical.
Hmm.
So basically, these moderates are and independents are basically Democrats just begging to be part of a party.
Yeah.
And I saw on CNN the other night where they went out and I think it was Dodgeville, Virginia. Yesterday, I think it was actually, and they were. It was considered a moderate town in Virginia, and they were asking some of the townspeople what they thought of the gubernatorial race that was going on, who they were going to vote for, and what their views were. And I heard one gentleman said he was just almost begging the Democrats to please give me some reason to vote. I'm not asking a vote for you. I'm not asking for a lot. I'm not asking for any cash. I'm not asking for any promises that you're going to do all these great things for me, but just give me a simple, small reason that I can vote for you, and I will.
Yeah.
And so somewhere along the line, Democrats have to realize that, there's got to be a reason that people want to vote for you rather than just against the other guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Democrats like Howard Dean and all of them, they have to come up with some proposals. They can't just be anti-Republican. They have to be pro-something,
right.
And they're not. I mean, that thing with Harry Reid last week drove me nuts when he shot down the Senate. That was ridiculous. But come up with some ideas. Every time you see him on TV, he says, oh, we're working on it, we're working on it. They have no ideas. I don't understand, what's going on with that party? I used to be a Democrat. I still lean slightly to the left, but I mean, it's a train wreck over there. I mean, you think they won some elections yesterday, but I don't know if they could get everything together for 06. I mean, that's going to be the election that's going to tell the tale.
Well, some people have the opinion that, and maybe this is just being charitable, I don't know. They're saying that the Democrats really don't want to roll out a strong contract with America that the Republicans did in the 90s, because it's too soon, it's too far away from the election.
True.
And that the buzz and everything will fade by the time the election comes around and won't do them any good.
Hmm.
You know, the contract with America that Newt Gingrich he came up with back in, 94, I believe it was like 90 days prior to the election he came up with it. People are saying that might be to the Democrats' advantage to maybe hold off a bit. I'd like to think maybe there was that kind of thought having gone into it, but I suspect it probably hasn't gotten done because people just can't get together. You know, leading the Democrats is like herding a bunch of cats.
I know. Yeah.
It's you don't have them able to walk in lockstep with each other, which is whole isn't bad. It's good that you have this big tent and allow everybody in, but it sure wreaks havoc with trying to get anything done when everybody's trying to push and shove their way to the front whether or not they run over their fellow Democrats or not.
True. Once again, I'm Sean O'Mac. I'm joined by Gary. Am I saying your last name right? Butts, right?
Yes.
Okay. From moderatevoters.org. And I want to thank Joe Gandelman for giving me the heads up about you. I mean, it's he's a good guy. I don't know if you've been on his blog or not, Gary, but he's does a hell of a good job on his blog. I mean, it's,
he's a great guy.
And he is.
And I read his blog all the time.
Yeah. And then I actually have a question from the chat room. I guess this guy, the chatter's from California. He says, being in California, or I guess you're in California, that's right, how has the groper-in-chief affected people voting? Do they actually care about what Schwarzenegger thinks anymore, or do they just think of him as an era politician now?
Well, people have been talking about the Jesse Ventura effect, you know, whether or not he's going to end up crashing and burning like the governor of Minnesota did years ago. Up until recently, Monday, I didn't think there was much chance of that happening. But I don't know. It's his numbers just keep going down and down, and just like the President Bush, when you think you just can't get any lower, they do.
Yeah.
The problem that I think that the Democrats have in California at the moment is that there's really no well-known candidate that the Democrats could coalesce around. And Rob Reiner's talking about running maybe, and Warren Beatty and some of those people, but I don't know if that's any. Well, it's got to be better than what we have, but I'm wondering if you're not going to have just exchange one set of problems for another set. But there's not a real strong candidate that might take the Democratic nomination, and part of that is because of in California we have term limits.
Yeah.
So you don't have a chance in the old days you had Willie Brown who was in the assembly for heaven knows how long, and he built up a reputation, and Jess Unruh way back when. You had these people that had a reputation, had some visibility to them, and they would stand a chance. Now we're having to vote for this movie star or this actor, this actress, because they have name recognition, and the poor guy in the assembly or state senator, even maybe a statewide office, doesn't have nearly the name recognition that the actor does.
Yeah, or the money. I mean,
or the money.
Yeah, Schwarzenegger pretty much bought that election. Now, another question from the chat room. I mentioned that last week, so I must have a loyal listener about the thing with the idea of splitting California into half or thirds.
You mean like a Northern California, Southern California?
Yeah, well, I said that too, because California is, I think if it was a country, it'd be the fifth largest country in the world because of its GDP. And then there's, whatever happens to California, I mean, one governor, it seems like it's impossible to govern that state because it's just too damn big,
Well, I don't know if that's a problem so much because while there is a fairly wide diversity of citizenry in California, it's certainly no bigger than the United States, no wider in diversity than the United States.
Oh,
so
true.
If we can't expect one to kind of run California because it's too big, heaven knows, I guess you wouldn't think that running the United States would have any hope whatsoever.
True. No, I mean, just like a lot of times if the California economy goes bad or an earthquake or something, it affects the whole country because it's such a very populous state.
Well, but because it is so diverse, even when Silicon Valley tanked the internet business 4 years ago or so, I live in Southern California, and it really didn't have that much effect on us. I know a lot of friends I had up in Northern California, the value of their homes, tanked and dropped back a rock. But to down here in Southern California, there was very little effect whatsoever. So being so big, I think, has its benefits. It's not like you're a one-horse show like some smaller states where if you depend on General Motors and they go out of business or downsize, you're toast.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that's so bad. You'd be hard-pressed to get to any amount of voters to agree to that.
True. Actually, I'm on your the moderatevoters.org blog. I must say it's very nice, very easy to follow. Now, where do you get your news at for your blog? Do you have a hard time finding news or reports that are moderate? And, you know, you have to sift through everything so it's nothing liberal or too conservative?
Well, it used to be that was the case. I mean, I was kind of hard pressed to write about much of anything because there just wasn't enough news, it seemed like. And then I started kind of broadening my horizons, and one of the best things I got was one of these RSS news aggregators. I don't know if you know anything about XML or.
Oh yes.
Have you seen the RSS tags on blogs and different websites?
Mm-hmm.
That your news aggregator will go out there to these different sites and pull these XML files off of their sites and post them on your news aggregator.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've done that with a lot of sites that I can review 30, 40 during the day that update to every 30 minutes or so.
Wow.
And as it turns out, I'm finding that there are too many things to write about now. And I listen to I get a lot of comments from people that email me. There's not a lot of people that write on the comments so much. I guess maybe they're a little shy or something. But I do get a ton of emails, and they tell me, you know, they like this, and I haven't heard anybody that said that they really didn't like something.
Yeah.
But what I've tried to do is to, I don't want to be ranting and raving about this candidate, this issue. You can get that on the internet in a million different places. What I try and do is look for interesting articles that explain difficult issues well. They explain it in a different, put a little different spin to it.
Yeah.
I found a great article a couple of days ago on immigration, and it brought up so many different issues and different things that I hadn't thought of. And it took the McCain-Kennedy bill in the Senate and compared and contrasted it with some of the other bills out there, and explained what the good and the bad were, these different things and the issues involved. And you walked away from that thinking, man, I really know something about illegal immigration now.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's meant for a less of a bully pulpit and preaching to people, even though there's a little bit of that in there, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's more of a, hey, I found an article that I found interesting, and I hope my readers find it interesting also.
Well, same thing with this program. Yeah, I try to bring the bloggers and other people on it. I feel it would be interesting to hear from, because you turn on the radio, talk radio, you hear the same six people on, Howard Feynman and all the others, and Chris Matthews and all that.
Right.
And then it's same thing with the politics, shout and yell. You know, I consider myself a moderate. I'm a left leaning moderate, but I mean you don't find that anywhere anymore. And same thing with your moderatevoters.org and then the blog, Gandelman and a few others, but that's it. You know, we're like a dying breed here. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's I think it's actually going the other way.
I think it's a dying
breed.
Yeah.
I think it's a growing breed.
Oh, I hope so.
And I think more and more people are realizing that maybe the reason that I haven't been interested in voting for a candidate in the past is because they've been so far left or so far right.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason that one of the reasons that we're having to choose from them, the voter's going to say hopefully, is that people like me aren't getting out there and working for the moderate people. So I'm hoping that as more and more people get interested in this moderate, for lack of a better word, movement, they're going to be more interested in the primaries, more interested in candidates, more interested in blogs, more interested in getting involved, and they're getting to realize that if we don't, you're going to get some of the schlocks we end up having to vote for.
Yeah, put it mildly, huh? But I mean, it's amazing how people keep getting the same garbage that they keep getting. Because like here in Nevada, I say we got to crank out Harry Reid, you got to crank out Shelley Berkley, Gibbons, now he wants his wife to run. I'm like, oh man, crank her out, don't let her get in there, because I hate them. They turn these seats into fiefdoms. Why is his wife going to run for Congress, or crying out loud? You know what I mean?
Well, I tell you, if you go to the House And you see some of the last names of some of these congressmen. They are very familiar names because either their
sons,
mother or their father.
Yeah, yeah. Kennedy.
You see it all over the place.
Yeah.
Even with our current president, right?
Yeah. Bush.
If his dad had not been a president of the United States, what were the odds? What would have been the odds of him being elected?
Yeah. We'd be looking at President McCain right now.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
George Bush would be. He wouldn't have had anything to do with with baseball. He wouldn't have had anything to do with oil.
Yeah.
You know, 90% of what he's done in his life has come from his contact with his dad.
Father. Yeah. Yeah. Well, his vice president. Look at who's the vice president is. Yeah, that's from his father's Secretary of Defense.
Exactly. So. Not to change the subject, but I heard another article that didn't really pertain to my blog, but I thought it was kind of interesting about. Somebody did some kind of a psychological study as to children that grow up with very famous parents, and that they basically try to outdo them in whatever field they were good at. So if they were a particular baseball player, they try and be a better batter, be a better fielder, better whatever else, just so that they could finally get out from underneath the shadow of this famous parent.
Yeah.
And they were applying it to the current President Bush, saying, you know, maybe the reason he has some of these extreme ideas is he's just so bent on trying to prove that he can do something his dad wasn't able to do. And maybe that's kind of the reason that he's taken some of the hardcore or positions that he has. It was kind of an interesting article. I'm not a psychologist, but
It makes sense. I mean, all of it makes sense. I mean, we got a big problem with our political system, and we have to groups like yours. We have to support them, and hopefully, we can make a difference. You know.
Well, I've been pleased so far with it. We got a long ways to go, and I guess what I've been pleased as much as anything is. The very thoughtful emails and comments that I get, they're not, from some crazed lunatic
that
say, you know, why are you taking up internet space and whatever else. They're well thought out. They said, you know, you've got a point, but have you considered this? It's a very enlightened bunch of people heretofore that have been reading this,
Well, I wish you well. Gary, we're almost out of time. Any final words to the listeners out there?
Well, we hope that they come look at our blog. And truly, we are interested in ideas, whether or not somebody has some tips and advice as to how we can make it better for people, make it more interesting to people, or tap into a whole bunch of people that we've never thought of.
Absolutely.
We certainly don't have the answers and all the answers, and we're more than willing to and happy and eager to listen to anybody that might be able to help us along.
Yeah,
all of us along.
Yeah, well, I think part of it is you could add a button for my program on your site, huh? No? I'm trying to get listeners. I'm a horrible salesman, Gary. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. The worst I can do is just hang up. So.
Anyway, Gary, I thank you for being on the program.
I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Have a good night, sir.
Thanks.
Bye. And that was Gary Butts. Whoa, there was a hang up there. There you go. Professional. Gary Butts from the ModerateVoters.org. And we'll be back in a few minutes with Justin Gardner from the Dunkelfint. We'll go over the election and a few other things, and we'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Jumping out the second floor.
welcome back to the second hour of Subject to Discussion. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want. Just don't call me late for dinner. And we're waiting for Justin from the Dunkelfin to join us for his political report. I want to talk to him about the elections and everything else, what's going on the political front, and also a little bit about the riots in France and all that business. But and again, next week, I want to remind everybody that next week, Papa Joe Chevalier will be on the program at the 7:30 time frame, so 7:30 here, 9:30 in Chicago, or 10:30 in New York. It'll be Papa Joe Chevalier. It'll be on via the telephone, and it should be interesting. So hopefully we get a nice carryover audience from the Papa Joe show into Subject to Discussion. So, and but he's a good guy, so we'll hear what he has to say for himself. And while we wait for Justin to call in, we shall actually, it's a good interview. I liked talking to Gary Butts from the moderatevoters.org, so I wish them well. I mean, the same thing with the Wake Up America Foundation. You know, it's a small group. I've been involved in so many of these small, these groups. I've been at the 10th Amendment Foundation. I was involved with that. I was involved in the First Amendment Coalition. I was involved with that. Whatever else I was involved with. The Reform Party is involved with that. I was involved with Unite We Stand America. So all these advocate groups, I'm all for them. But the true believers, there's a handful of true believers, and a lot of these people are like bandwagon jumpers, and the group runs out of gas after a while. It's like last night when I pulled up at the Cashman Field Center here in Las Vegas to the Wake Up America Foundation meeting. There are tables out in front of the arena there for the White People's Party, which is out here. I'm like, what is this? It's not got nothing to do with illegal immigration. So what I did, I went over to the management office at Cashman Field, and I complained. I said, what is this? If you're going to a lot of people put tables in front of here, I'm going to put up a table next week in front of the White People's Party. We thought this was part of the Wake Up America. I'm like, no, it's not part of Wake Up America. So they moved, got rid of the White People's Party out of there. You know what I mean?
It's amazing. I didn't think there was a White People's Party.
There is. Yeah. Well, the guy was in the paper several weeks ago. His name is O'Callaghan or whatever his name is. And he actually runs midway houses for drug offenders or whatever the hell it is. And he got dragged up on something because he wasn't licensed by the state. So I'm like, uh-oh. But, the white people, come on. This is 2005, 2006. Why can't we get past this racism crap? I mean, we're all in this together. The whites, the blacks. I mean, my neighbors that grew up in Chicago were black. I mean, come on, people. I mean, why can't we get beyond this and focus on the real problems we have? We got deficits as far as the eye can see. We got political systems in chaos. We got all this crap going on, And can't we get beyond this racism BS that's been going on for too damn long in this country? So, that being said, I think we'll be joined by Justin from the Dunkelvin. Jesus Christ. Hey, Louise, look at that. Oh, God. Justin, are you there, sir?
What in the hell is that?
That was the elephant getting killed, and the donkey was goring the elephant there, didn't you? Hey, Lord.
Like a donkey being stuck up an elephant's ass.
Sounds like that movie with Ned Beatty. It sounds like he's getting screwed or something.
Hey, I told you I wasn't going to be able to hear the elephant sound effect ahead of time.
Lord.
That was pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, we But anyway, welcome to the program. I don't know if I told you in a couple weeks, we just announced today we're moving the program Thanksgiving week to Tuesdays.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to work for you or not, but we have no choice because Mark is abandoning the ship here.
So abandoning, jeez.
This ship is going down fast. And he's the first one to bail out.
Where are you going, Mark?
He's going to hell. That's where he's going.
Where I work, I have to work a little bit later on Wednesdays.
He doesn't want anything to do with this snore fest, as I've been told.
Whatever.
Another show on Sunday referred to my program as the snore fest. So
no,
I guess it's snore fest.
I've enjoyed the hell out of this.
Oh, really?
Before everything gets started with the political report, I do have to tell Justin that the retraction on something I said last week. It turns out that my information that I got was actually completely wrong. There was not 20 reports on the investigation into the CIA leak. There was 20 reports on the investigation into the investigation, just from intelligence reports from other countries that said that those people had the yellow cake over there in Niger.
Ah. Yeah, from different countries.
Yeah, and there wasn't even one that said they didn't.
Really?
Yeah, I kind of looked into it quite a bit. Wow. And there was the three, though, that I said. There was one run by the military, one by the CIA, and then one from Joe Wilson. There we go.
Joe Wilson?
Yeah. Joe Walsh. I keep wanting to call him Joe Walsh. I don't know why.
John Walsh. I think you got that.
Yeah,
John
exactly.
Walsh. So now this is Justin from the Dunkelvent Centrist blog. This is the Night of Centrist. I just had the guy from the ModernVoters.org. Justin, have you checked out his blog?
Yeah, I have actually.
Yeah, he's a pretty good guy. Now, now what about the elections? Now, Arnold went down in flames. The Groper-in-Chief lost everything on Tuesday, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, it was really interesting because I think what they were saying with that vote was essentially, you know, there's more important things than you trying to get these ballot initiatives to weaken the teachers union and
nurses.
One of the initiatives was to allow union members to vote if they will use their union dues to support a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that's something that I actually support. But you know, there are more pressing issues, and as Schwarzenegger's popularity has fallen in California, so is his credibility. I mean, because people just they're like, what? Why are you giving us these initiatives to vote on when you know we have these other things to.
Well, yeah, and like I said, I was talking to Gary Butts earlier, and I mentioned him. This election cost the taxpayers of California like $30 or $50 million, and they just forked up money for his, special election for governor to recall a couple years ago. I mean, these elections are, you know, taking their toll on the taxpayers. You know.
Oh yeah. I mean, and at the end of the day, it's like they have a budget crisis. You know, so let's start working together as opposed to trying to going around people.
Yeah.
And that's what the voters essentially told them. They said, you know what? You're gonna have to work with them.
Exactly.
Because,
don't
you know,
be a little.
All these, you know,
don't
little
be a,
extra things.
Yeah. Don't be an election girly man and go back there and work with the Democrats, right? We can say it. Economic girly man, right? Yeah. And then now, also, you mentioned that the big day for Mark Warner. Yeah, absolutely. I think this propels him. I like him. I mean, I study his record and everything. If he just gets his name out there, oh boy, I think he'd be a strong contender for president.
Well, you know, it's like we haven't heard very much out of Mark Warner, but the fact that he was able to bring a Democrat on and get him elected as governor,
Republican state
heavily. Bush campaigned with the Republican Kilgore, and you know, it didn't help. Bush is right now he's kind of political poison for a lot of people.
Yeah.
In fact, Schwarzenegger said, "Just stay away from my campaign."
That's
And one can only imagine what Bush in California campaigning for Schwarzenegger would have done. Like, it probably would have pushed it even further down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just Bush and company. They're going through a really, really tough time right now.
Yeah.
I think that people can start to get to know Mark Warner. You know, he's a moderate Democrat.
Very moderate.
Yeah, he pulled in another centrist Democrat. The governor-elect.
Yeah,
so,
I urge everybody.
I think that, you know, he has a very good chance of if he's charismatic, of capturing the national attention, you know, in the next couple of years, and becoming a contender, or even possibly being a pretty decent vice presidential candidate. I mean, I know this is really, really early to be even thinking about this type of stuff, but if the Democrats can see that he could bring Virginia with them, he's poised to. He would be poised to
How about Richardson Warner ticket? Mm.
Well, you know, I was kind of keeping tally on all the things that were gained and lost this week.
Yeah.
And nobody won or lost anything. The same amount of seats, 28 seats. They didn't actually change hands.
No, just
governors. Nothing changed. Everything pretty much stayed flat and level.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's on the radio, on TV, on everything, there's been this huge hubbub about, Bush screwed up, he shouldn't have showed up and campaigned with the guy. And it's like, well, they already knew that the guy was behind.
Yeah.
And they thought that, you know, the same thing that Clinton had done during his terms, which he went down to some of these places and tried to help him out, tried to get, like, a little extra money, tried to get... you know, a little bit extra voters, maybe someone extra would turn out because he showed up. And, you know, it's just what presidents do for their party.
No doubt. I mean, but there was definitely, I mean, like Arnold, you know, publicly stated that he did not want Bush's help. And well, I think that's fairly telling. I mean, you know, people consider Arnold a bit of a rhino, right? Republican in name only. He's very, very socially.
Well, look who he's married to.
I think that's fairly telling, especially when, you know, Schwarzenegger was like, please come in for the special election, you know, when
he won?
Got ousted.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, because Bush was popular back then, because
9/11
and all that.
That's exactly it. It's all about popularity, and I think that's why the media is making hay right now.
Yeah. And then what else? Big day for Mark Warner. San Francisco handgun ban. I didn't see that anywhere.
Yeah, that was one of the initiatives.
Oh, really?
That they voted on, and it's kind of a weird one. I mean, it's pretty much unconstitutional. And it doesn't seem like San Francisco would be able to do that.
They can't.
As a city. Yeah, exactly. No. It doesn't seem like they really can.
Federal law on that trumps state, local, everything inside of a
right
state.
The bare
you can't,
arms.
Yeah, you cannot stop them.
Yeah.
It was their, oh, we want to be extremely, show that we're liberal extremists and say we're just not going to allow this. Same thing with the
gay marriage.
Marijuana debates and all
and,
that.
Yeah.
All these states are like, oh, we're going to make marijuana legal. It's like,
the federal's
not going to let you.
I mean, the marijuana thing was a state thing, all right? And the handgun thing is a city thing.
Yeah.
And I think those two things it's important to delineate between those two things because a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, if a city cannot just kind of put this law into effect. It would have to be at the state level. And yes, you're right. The federal trumps, you know, it all. But the marijuana thing and the handgun thing are different. I understand still where you're going with it, but it just doesn't seem. I don't know. I mean, it's very San Francisco, right? And San Francisco is the most liberal city, that in the country.
Yeah.
I mean,
kidding.
That I would think. I mean, at the same time, they also passed it was a completely toothless proposition. It had nothing to do with anything. I mean, it won't affect really anybody. It was just a stance to say we don't want military recruiters coming around high schools and colleges.
Yeah, they can't do that either because that's where some of the money comes from for these schools.
That's some of the requirements
was to allow
from the federal
that.
Government.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
No. And it's the proposition
retarded.
It does nothing.
Waste of money, waste of paper, huge waste of
ballot measure initiatives, all these ads being on TV and everything. And
symbolic.
That makes the PR firms rich.
But
you know?
It's the same. That whole grouping of people were also the same people that were doing all the commercials against all of Arnold's initiatives that he put up.
Yeah.
$128 million worth of TV ads.
Amazing.
Is that amazing? That's more money than most small counties even have to spend, period.
That's a presidential race right there. That's the kind of money they plow into a presidential.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
There's a lot of money out there.
Well, what about the Corzine business there? They spent, $70 million on that race for the governor of a state that doesn't have a TV station. You know?
That's funny.
They don't have a TV station. I don't know if you listen to O'Reilly, but they don't have, according to him, you know, he's never wrong. They don't have a TV station.
No. Bill O'Reilly's never wrong.
But yeah, Corzine.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're going to be giving a retraction next week, Sean.
I said that sarcastically. But, I mean,
I've
got O'Reilly in the head now. But Corzine Corzine's now the governor of New Jersey because he replaced that pervert McGreevy because he stepped down because he had a gay fling. Now, Corzine gets to appoint his own replacement in the Senate, right?
Because
he's the governor of New Jersey. Yeah.
Does he? Yeah.
Yes.
Does he?
Yeah, he's the governor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
at the same time he takes the oath of governor, he also relinquishes his seat.
And then that position is up for re-election in 2006, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, but anyway, he still gets to appoint a Democrat to take his place. So, I mean, it goes around.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like he's going to appoint somebody, and then they're going to have, you know, however long, and then there's going to be another election. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's just kind of, you know, his prerogative at that point. I mean, that's, you know, that's something that the legislature has, you know, agreed upon.
Now, what about,
you know, they'll have an election in 2006.
Now, what about the French riots there? He also, the subtitle, you have, like, African tensions and welfare rejection, loss of identity.
I mean,
it's all the Muslims.
What we're finding, you know, is happening in France. I mean, there's a lot of these African immigrants, second and third generation, these teenagers who feel like, they're essentially on the dole, right? They're part of the welfare system, and France prides themselves on having a very, you know, humane welfare system. But the only problem is that while they give these people this money, they don't necessarily include them in, like, France. There's a lot of Muslim tension in France right now too, because I think it was about a year and a half back, maybe 2 years, where they said that, you know, you couldn't wear headdresses or Muslim
in school.
And it was just when I was reading about it, I was like, boy, that just seems like just a bad idea. You know?
Well, it's really not, because they had official school uniforms. And it's the same thing here in the United States. You can't wear, if you're at a private school or even a public school that has a dress uniform, you can't wear any of these extra things.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of a kind of a given if you're
Are you sure that's what it was? Because I remember, and I could be wrong here, but I remember reading that it was okay for like Jewish kids to wear their religious paraphernalia, but it was not okay for Muslim kids to wear theirs.
No, I only heard that it was the schools that were the ones that had the dress codes.
Really?
I'll have to go back and look at that.
Yeah.
But it's not only that, it's also there's unemployment rates in certain sectors.
What was it like 30% unemployment rate?
Oh, it's sky high.
Yeah.
Out of Paris, they're like they live in squalor outside of Paris. It's horrible
for the younger
people.
Absolutely. It's 30%, and it's 5% or 6% overall for the area, but then it's like 30% for them.
You
have to think, it's like, you know, you're being given this money, but then you're not given any really opportunities to go for. I mean, that's essentially what they're saying. I'm not over there. I don't know what the reality of the situation is. There's been what now 12 days.
It's horrible, of
rioting.
Yes.
And I kind of compared it to the Watts riots, on Donquifont. I mean, it's just, you know, if they're gonna learn something, take a look back 40 years.
I don't really compare it to that, though, and take
a look at, you know, what happened in Los Angeles. And by the way, the Watts riots happened like a couple days after like the Voting Rights Act got passed.
Well, you know, Mark's going to be heading over there next week, so we'll expect a first-hand report from London.
I'm not going to.
You can get the general fervor of what's going on over in Europe.
But the goofy thing about this whole situation is a lot of people are saying that it's a civil rights protest. But I don't really see it as a civil rights protest. These people immigrated. They knew they were going to a socialist country.
Mm-hmm.
They flat out knew it when they got there.
Mm-hmm.
And they started right off the bat getting all of the things that are given to them, being basically on welfare. And they were cool with that.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, they want jobs given to them on a silver platter.
Yeah.
Everything else is already given to them. Now they want this.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, guys, why don't you take even a minuscule chunk from the capitalistic society and allow people to start making businesses instead of paying all this money on welfare, basically, for all these people's entire lives. These people don't have to work. They don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that adds to somebody's frustration. I mean, when you essentially give a person absolutely no incentive to go out there, it's you start to build this low level, this low hum of tension, and eventually it's going to explode.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot just allow people to live, you know, essentially responsibility free. You know, I know it seems almost counterintuitive, right? You know, it's like no, I mean, you're just kind of giving them, but the conditions that they're living in on that money just makes them feel just
Wait a minute now. I apply it to myself. I'm not rolling in money here. Yeah, I mean, but I'm not lighting fire to the studios here. I mean,
Not at all. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
It comes down to personal responsibility.
That's true.
I'm not saying that it doesn't. Right?
That's true.
But at the end of the day, you also have to appreciate, you know, how these cultures aren't necessarily integrated into French society.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, okay, here's your money, just go live, you know, off in that place over there.
The French hate everyone.
Yeah, they hate the Americans.
And by the way, I'm not saying they're right,
yeah,
but France is going to have to, like, look at it very seriously if they don't want
they gotta do something
again.
Well, what was it?
Because the country's going up in flames.
2 or 4 days after was actually when Chirac put together his group of think tank
cabinet,
people,
yeah,
and actually decided maybe we should do something about this.
He thought it'd go away. He thought it was just a minor incursion, not this mass explosion. I just hope it doesn't reach into the city of Paris itself.
Who was the first person that threw up their hands and started making all kinds of press releases? Basically, one of the first
Bill
people.
O'Reilly.
Anyway.
Bill O'Reilly.
One of the first people anyway out of the country was
like O'Reilly.
Chirac about Katrina.
Yeah.
About that's why the capitalistic society doesn't work.
Yeah.
You guys were 2 days late. Well, guess what? You guys were 4 days late.
Oh, you can't sell them to that though, right?
And now, it's still going on.
Now we're gonna move on to torture. What about the Cheney wants torture? Now does Cheney
Cheney's trying to get
what is this? Some kind of S&M thing? Does Cheney want to be tortured himself, or do you want? No, I'm just kidding.
It seems like he's kind of torturing himself. But listen here, the torture issues, it's a difficult one, right? Because somebody comes to you, you say, you know, okay, we want to put these limits on interrogation, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want people to be tortured physically or mentally. We don't want that, okay? And then somebody says, well, what if there's a bomb, you know, and there's only 24 hours, right? What are you going to do? And here's the thing. I think those situations are going to handle themselves. But if we have a policy in place, right, where they can, which is what Cheney is proposing, and for the CIA to have the CIA be exempt from this torture amendment that McCain is putting forth. If we have that type of policy in place, then what do you think is going to happen?
To actually quantify what you mean by torture, too. He's trying to lay down a set of ground rules as to what we can and can't do, because there's all these people trying to do judicial activism and say we can't do anything.
No, that's not true. He's not trying to lay down any ground rules. He's trying to say every option is on the table. McCain is trying to lay down ground rules that in the military's, you know, they already have, you know, what is acceptable interrogation tactics, and he is trying to get us to say this is it. We are not going over this.
Huh.
And that's it. I mean, you know, and so what Cheney is trying to do is he's trying to get the CIA exempt from that.
Yeah, I didn't hear about the exemption part.
What's that?
I didn't
hear about the exemption part.
Yeah, because they run these,
Black sites.
Well, that is something, a whole nother big deal.
Yeah, but
who released the information on those black sites?
Well, somebody says it was somebody from the GOP because, you know, Cheney was talking to a bunch of GOP senators or a bunch of Republican senators and GOP leaders. And a couple days after that, that's when the information got leaked. I mean, there were no Democrats or liberals in there, you know, at least in that briefing. That's where they're saying it's coming from. So that's where they're looking, at least. I mean, that's what the media is telling.
There's
us.
A lot of rumors flying right now about it. And I don't think it's going to be any time this year or next year we find out about that one, just like with the CIA one.
The plane thing. And then, what is this, anorexic, you need to stay alive and fight against, something about rant radio. Isn't that yours? No? I don't know.
No, it's not mine.
No, I'm talking to Mark here.
Well, real quick, let's go back to the torture thing.
Yes, we're off topic here.
We have tortured, right?
Yes.
I mean, like, you know, Abu Ghraib, you know, these things happen. We've killed people in Afghanistan, you know, on our watch.
Yeah.
And you know, these things are bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's...
What's
two ways about it? These things are bad. Now Bush comes out this week and says we do not torture.
Well,
and I just I asked on the plug, like, how does he define torture? Then?
Yeah, that's why I say, what's Bush's definition of torture? I think his definition is it means he's got 3 more years left in office, huh? I mean, you know, the man is so weary. I feel sorry for him. He's had to put up with so much. You know, I mean, you can tell he's just dying to get out of there.
Well, and I think he has some people around him who haven't necessarily been, you know. They haven't been intellectually honest.
They haven't served him well.
You know, he has his talking points.
Yeah.
And I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I think that, you know, there needs to be some house cleaning.
Oh, I think he will. I think after the holidays are over, because he's, you know, the way he is, I think he'll wait till after the first year, then he'll clean house. I think you're seeing a whole new administration, you know?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, like, honestly,
so?
Like, he's stuck fast to people who...
Rove.
Who have, yeah, I mean, he's stuck. I mean, Rove, I believe, I hope... Rove lied to him, because Rove lied to Scott McClellan, right? I mean, so Rove said that he had nothing to do with this. Well, it's okay, he could have forgotten, but Rove forgot? I mean, come on, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
so, you know, but beyond that, I mean, like, I don't know that he's necessarily going to do that. I think that's maybe what he should do,
yeah.
Right? I think he should clean house. I think that he should bring in some people that, you know, the American people can say, okay, you know, because there's a lot of scrutiny right now in Cheney's office because of Libby, because of this torture thing.
Absolutely.
Of, you know, the memos that have been going up and down and you know, where did the torture stuff start?
Yeah.
You know, like, where did, like, you know, we need more actionable intelligence. So, I mean, I think that there needs to, you know, he needs to address that. And I think until he does that, he's not going to win back the support of the American people. So the last thing I think on the list that we were talking about that I sent you.
Kansas Board of Education about the intelligent design.
Yeah, that's, you know, and I, you know, Kansas School Board of, you know, quote unquote education. It's really disheartening. I live in Missouri. But I work in Kansas.
Oh.
And, you know, I pay taxes to the state. And, you know, by a vote of 6-4, they essentially redefined the definition of science.
Yeah.
To include, not just include natural phenomena.
Mm.
Now, you know, I don't know about you, but to me that looks like a very, very clear, like, violation of the whole separation of church and state.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, it's like there is no, this intelligent design thing is just this thing that has sprung up, that it was, you know, they knew that they couldn't get creationism into the classroom, and so they coined another term because, you know, they were looking at, you know, potential flaws in the evolutionary theory. And by the way, it's the evolutionary theory. It's not a law, right? No, you know, it's nobody says that it's a law. Nobody says that this is the end all be all. But I think that many of us can agree that it is the best explanation for how our world fits together. You know, how things cooperate, how things, you know, interact with one another.
True.
And for this school board to just essentially ignore the world around them and look instead to instead to the pulpit, I just think is really disheartening, and I think it's wrong. And I hope in 2006, when a lot of these board members come up for re-election, I hope that, you know, the people of Kansas say, you know, we've had enough too.
Well, it's short-term memories. You got 15-minute memory, what do you call it, attention span for these people these days. That's why, you know, Fox News reads the same headlines every 15 minutes. You know, they drub it in everybody's head and everything. And CNN. Now, a lot of people are asking, where do you get your news from? Do you watch CNN or?
Where do I get my news from?
Yeah, where do you get,
I get
your
my news from?
Blogs.
From everywhere.
Yeah.
I get my news from blogs. I get my news from. You know, from the local news, from the national news. I read newspapers.
How about CNN?
You know, a lot of the newspaper stories are online, right? But yeah, I read. You know, I just read just a ton of news. And I have something that's called a news reader.
Yes.
So I can pull the RSS feed, the blogs, and different news sources into it, and so it comes to me. So I can just go into my news reader, which is essentially kind of like a browser, and just go through. Probably, like, I have about 75 news sources that I look at every day, and they publish like 2 to 3, you know, pieces of information or stories, you know, on average, right? So I'm going through probably like, you know, 300, you know, stories a day, skimming some, but reading probably like 20 or 30 of them.
Have you been watching the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer? No.
No.
I haven't. Oh, it's not bad. I like Wolf. Wolf is pretty middle of the road kind of guy here. I mean, he you know, it's that damn. They keep moving the show. It's on like 2 hours. Then I think Lou Dobbs refused to move his show, so they do 2 hours in front of Lou Dobbs, and he comes back for another hour after Lou Dobbs, and they feed into Paula Zahn. But it's not bad. I mean, you know. I like, you know, Wolf and everything. Of all the CNN programs, I think his is the most middle of the road that you can find.
Well, you know, and I think that he when I have watched him, he does give it to both sides.
Yes.
He questions them, and he tries to be objective as he can. And I think that's one of the problems that a lot of people have. You know, I think the whole liberal media thing. I think that there's a big misconception about that. And I think what happened was is when you have the talk radio. The birth of talk radio with people like Rush Limbaugh, and it was essentially pretty much all right wing.
Yeah.
And then you have the media during the Reagan years, and that's when Rush, like, you know, started, was during that time. It just pushed this meme out there. It pushed this idea out there that, you know, there was this massive liberal press. But on average, when you look at it, it's like, you know what, the media just is reporting what they, you know, what the stories are. And I think that here's the issue. I think that they need to be more curious, and they need to dig further, because oftentimes they can kind of just, you know, be lazy, be intellectually lazy, like I think the Bush administration has been, you know, in the past few years, and not get the other side of the story sometimes, and or not dig far enough to get the other side of the story, or not give credence to the other side of the story sometimes.
True.
But I think on average, and especially in the newspapers, I think the newspapers, they get it right a lot more than the 24/7 news channels, because they need to fill up all the time, right? So they sometimes stuff is just thrown up there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, they seem to, all these news channels seem to only cover one story at a time. You got the Schiavo mess, and then we have the Natalie Holloway business, and now they're beating to death this story in Jordan, which I think it's important, but they're losing all this other news. You know, and the elections kind of, you know, falling to the wayside. I think, you know, with Mark Warner's big day, I think they should be paying more attention to him now. But
See, that's the thing. That's the trap that people fall into, and that's the trap that I'll tell you, Sean. Don't fall into it. When you're taking a personal stance, like, I think they should be focusing more on Mark Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Their job is to really just report the news. What's happening? What's the next thing? Mark Warner's, you know, thing was yesterday. Now there's, you know, a coordinated attack in Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, that was aimed at potentially American targets.
True.
Right? So you know, that's I think that's why a lot of people get frustrated with me. It's like, why aren't they focusing on this? It's like, well, they did focus on that, right?
True.
But then the next couple days things happen, and then they just have to go off of it.
Yeah.
But they'll get back to Mark Warner.
Yeah.
I mean, no doubt. I mean,
I hope
they'll
so.
Get back to him, but you know, just give it a little bit of time.
Yeah. Well, Justin, we'll let you go. We're going to do our DVD giveaway for Galactica now, so we'll talk to you next week.
Can I be part of that?
Oh, the contest is already rolling along here.
It is.
Nobody
okay.
affiliated with this show
can actually win
the DVD.
Well, I'm sorry?
I'm actually a pretty big fan of Bell.
Oh, really? Well, absolutely. If you can help me get a guest from the show, I'd appreciate it. I've been struggling these last few weeks here, you know, to get a cast member on, because my next interview they're scheduling me for is not until January with Gata, so I'm trying to get somebody else in between, but and he's been no help trying to get me a Stargate guest. But
hey, you know, way too many things.
Screwing the show over.
Hey,
it's all right. But anyway, Justin, thank you very much. Thank you.
Take it easy.
All right.
Have a good one, man.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. And we thank Justin Gardner.
To blame everything on me. Jeez.
I'll blame Orlando. Khan, I'll leave him alone because he's the savior.
I just had a lot of stuff happen in the last 2 months. So.
Yeah, so we wish you well on your trip to London. We hope you come back with a report about how things are in London.
Yeah, I'll have to call in and tell you how much beer I drank while I was over there.
How many women you screwed. But
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Dude. You look at me? There's a reason why I'm the only one that's not on the webcam.
Don't worry. I've seen some of the chicks in London. You'll fit right in with them.
Oh,
you'll
thanks.
Find someone over there, I'm sure.
It is
going
to be very strange being the one with the accent instead of the one that's making fun of the people with the accent.
Absolutely. And now we want to give away the last tidbit of information for the DVD giveaway is that the little the village I was in was an area called Blue Crest. You have to be the seventh caller. Now you have to be the clue is Blue Crest. It's a little the burg I grew up in Chicago. And then it's a blue crest, and the clue from last week, the two clues was my middle name is Michael, and our first dog was named Mopsy. So you got to call him with those three clues, whatever the hell it is, and then we'll give away the DVD. But he had to be the seventh caller. Once he gets off the phone here, he's, I don't know who the hell he's, who. But anyway, we'll do that. It must be the goof or somebody. Who was that?
What's that?
Who was that on the phone?
Oh, that was someone calling, not about this show, thinking it was the main studio number where it's actually the call-in number.
Oh, really? Who was it? Now, he'd be the seventh caller.
Got another call.
Seventh caller. And had to be the seventh caller. And... Yes.
Seventh caller. Hey, cool.
Oh, thank you for calling.
Hold on 1 second here.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, who is this?
Scully Girl.
Oh, my God, you're the winner of the Battlestar Galactica
Yay.
Season 1 DVD. Thank
Yay.
You.
That's so great. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, we will. Don't forget to email me the address for you, and we will send it out to you. And, yes. And so, now, have you been watching the reruns?
Yeah, as much as I can, yeah.
Really? So a lot of people haven't. I've heard they're a little depressed at the... Oh, there you go. You were giving the original music there. There you go. There you go. And now the new season starts in January. Now, I haven't heard anything about what's going on with the shooting. You know, Koenig has been pretty quiet with the spoilers, so they must have clamped down on the spoilers, huh?
Uh-huh.
Because I was spoiler city here for the first season here, you know?
Yeah, I missed the spoilers.
Oh, you missed all the spoilers?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I gave everything away on this show. I mean, that's why they don't like
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I barely had to watch the show.
Pegasus, I gave that away. I gave all the deaths away. There you go. There's the music. And but now, because the DVD just came out now, you're getting the U.S. version, because there's the U.K. version, which is awful, from what I understand, and there's the U.S. version. And then we have now, so what I understand, they're going to release the first 10 episodes before Christmas.
Yeah.
Of the second season. So, I don't know. We'll see. But, I mean, would you buy that?
I think I'm actually going to buy them instead of pirate
really?
Them. Yeah, I think I'm actually going to try to support this show instead of pirating everything I normally do. Yeah,
now, the companion, have you found a companion? Where you're at? You're in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, actually, I just bought it yesterday, but it's for Christmas, so I haven't read it yet.
Really? Now, how much was it?
It was like 20. It was it was 15. The last one.
$15. Was it a big book or like a small digest or what?
It's just like the size of Stargate ones are. If you've seen them, it's not real big, real small. Just
really
regular, yeah.
Now, did they have any of that hokey tech stuff in the back, like in the magazine? They had the Cylon scouting report, whatever the hell that was.
That was cool.
Really?
I saw a couple things that looked like how they made some of the stuff, but I don't know. Like I said, I didn't read it yet.
No. Well, I mean, like this.
That's the part I really liked. I didn't like where they were talking about all their upcoming projects and not about the stupid show that the damn magazine was all about to begin with.
Yeah, and no mention of my program at all. At least I thought Aaron Douglas had mentioned this program. Because I hear Douglas was in London not too long ago, and somebody came up to him, and according to him, he said, "Oh, we like listening to you on the LV Rocks show." You know.
What was that? Was that your impersonation
of
them?
That's what he said, because he called in. You were here.
Oh, yeah, that's
he
right.
He was saying, he goes, oh, people come up to me at the conventions and we will listen to you on the LV Rocks show. It's as funny as that. But, I mean...
It sounds like you're trying to do a Sammy Davis Jr. impersonation.
Yeah,
it
was
like,
Aaron Douglas.
Yeah, red on LV Rocks.
But I see Katie Sackhoff online often. I'm fearful of emailing her about coming back on the program, because I think she's gotten in trouble the two times she's been on. Have you listened to the interviews?
Yeah, I haven't heard hers yet, but the first one I went on here was when Aaron was on. That was the first time I went on to your
Who was on?
When Aaron was on.
Oh, the first time?
Yeah, that was the first time I was on, and then Paul was on, I think, the next week.
Ah, yes, Paul Campbell. Yeah, and they killed him off, they're going to, right?
Yeah, there's a spoiler.
There's a spoiler right there.
Ding, 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 ding. Spoiler. Just in case anybody wasn't prepared for that.
My Gata
they just
interview.
Gave away part of the storyline for next season.
It killed my Gata interview. I'll have to get Bodhi Olmos to come back on or something like that.
Hey, maybe you can get Olmos's dog. I don't know.
Well, what drives me crazy, I don't know why. They should all be willing to come on, because you know what? There's no other radio show that puts them on every week. You know what I'm saying? Right, Scully?
Right, and you need to get Stargate people, too.
I know. Mark's leaving the program, so he doesn't give a damn anymore.
Oh,
so
I do. Gotta,
and I don't know if I'm going to be 2 hours or not when I move to the new day.
I'm huge Stargate fan. It's things out of my control happen over the last 2 months.
Yeah, he's working some project for Disney or whatever the hell it is. We'll just give everything away. And then...
I'm going to have to kill you, Sean.
So you have to follow the program to Tuesdays now to get your news and current events fix. You know, Tuesdays work better for you than Wednesdays?
Yeah, better.
Oh,
really? Because I have to rush after Lost is done. So.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. Right now I'm up against Lost, right?
No, it's right after Lost. Oh, at least here it is.
And on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Now, Lost was supposed to kill somebody off. Who'd they kill off?
Well, we're not sure yet, but it's probably Shannon. She got shot. I'm assuming she's going to die.
Uh-oh. Now, wait a minute now. Who's that?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't watch that show. I'm sorry.
I can't stand that show.
Young rich blonde girl.
I'm sorry. Who was she?
The young rich blonde girl.
Ooh. Oh, wait a minute. She was the sister of that guy that was killed off, right?
Yeah.
What the hell is his name?
Boom.
He was on some other show. What the hell is he on? He was on some movie I saw called... My Friend the House or something like that. It's some movie.
Oh, that sounds like a great movie.
It actually was pretty good. It's a story of Hayden Christensen was on it. He played, and who the hell is the other guy? He died. Oh, the guy from American President, not Michael Douglas, the other one. Klein, what's his name? Klein?
Calvin
I don't know.
Klein?
I don't know. It's a good movie. It's called My Life as a House. That's where it is.
My Life as a House?
My Life as a House. It was a good movie. It was great. But the kid that was on Lost was in this movie.
Must be one of those fruity art films.
No, it's a story. The father, I don't want to go through this whole damn movie, but the parents, Mary Steenburgen was in it. Richard Klein, I think was his name. They divorced, and the son was estranged from the father, and the father had cancer and was dying. And then the father had this old shack house. His dream was before he died to build this big, beautiful house and leave it to his son. It was a whole story of the father and son getting together. It was a good movie.
See, this is why you're going to miss me. I can pull you on a tangent in a heartbeat.
But it was an excellent movie. I recommend it. My Life as a House. It's an excellent movie. I recommend it. Now, why did I bring up this damn movie?
I don't know. That's why I can. It's like I said. I speak tangent.
I don't know.
Train of thought just crashed.
Summerholder was in that movie, and he was killed off on Lost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
I am really anti-network TV science fiction shows.
Really?
Huge anti. Well, network.
I think Lost will last, though, for a while.
Lost is going to be on for a while? Oh, yeah. ABC would be crazy to cancel that.
Yeah.
Now, that's holding its audience. The other one's actually losing audience every week. Desperate Housewives has actually slipped in the ratings. So Lost is actually... I thought it'd be the other way around. Lost is like a sci-fi show. You know how these networks have these sci-fi shows. It lose its audience. But I guess people love it. And they brought in a lot of new cast members. And then they find the other survivors on their side of the island.
They're just going to meet them, I think, next week in the new episode.
Really? Now, that means – now somebody else said – I don't know, it was Jerry Doyle, because, you know, Jerry Doyle's on Babylon 5, and he does a national show out here in Vegas. He played Michael Garibaldi for 121 episodes
Garibaldi.
He reminds you every night on the show, Babylon 5. It's all here at Babylon 5. But he – they said – where was I? I lost my train of thought again. But he, what was I talking about? Babylon 5.
I don't even know.
How long Lost?
Desperate Housewives Lost.
Whatever.
Babylon 5.
Oh, yeah. He said that he believes that these other Lost survivors, that they want more money in their contract, so that's why they're going to get rid of them all, and that's why they're bringing all these new people on the other side of the island, because they could sign them cheaper, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't
know. Well, you know, I have a theory about Desperate Housewives. I think that the Girls Gone Wild advertisements late at night have more people watching than that show, just because they've got a bunch of women on there. It's the only reason anybody watches.
I don't know. Khan was showing me this blonde that's going to be on there this week. She's going to spike the ratings.
What did I just say?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, you could hit mute, and it would be a 10 times better show.
Yeah. I don't know. And then what other sci-fi show are you watching?
I've tried to watch Threshold. I've missed a lot of them, though. I've taped them. I haven't seen them yet.
Threshold. Now, wait a minute. Now, which one is that now? Is that the one? No, I watched
That's
Medium.
That's a Sphere ripoff.
Oh, Medium. I watched
Medium. Medium's pretty good. I like Medium. You know, whoever the hell her name is, she is a good actress. I like the police chief. He's been on a lot of shows. I remember him. He was on Murder One years ago. The chief, whoever the chief of police is on that show. I also like Murder One, too. But, you know... I like Medium. I just do not want to get involved in these other shows because they're not going to last, huh?
No.
Threshold's on ABC, correct?
I think it's on CBS. Oh. I'm not sure.
Whatever.
No. Threshold is such a ripoff. It's ridiculous. I hate it so
now,
much.
What's the one? Well, how's Invasion doing? We haven't heard anything about that. Is that show still on?
Yeah, they keep saying it's getting good ratings on
really?
The TV, but you never know if they're telling the truth. So.
They're probably not.
Now that's
bunch
the one.
Of lying network execs.
Well,
I hate
that's the
them.
One that they're all up in arms with because there's the hurricane business, right? It was a hurricane, and
right.
You know, now it's some creatures are living in the city,
well,
or whatever the hell
two.
It is.
There was two of those alien shows on opposing networks started off with a hurricane coming
yeah.
in.
Yeah, and then that one, I don't know if it's, I guess it's still, we got to get that TV critic back on. He was supposed to be on a month ago to talk about the new season.
Mm.
like
oh,
give
yeah.
us a progress report. But, I mean, and then what's it now? There's supposed to be another one coming, too. My Life is Earl. Do you watch that one, Earl?
No. It's not sci-fi. I haven't watched that.
Oh, so you watch just all sci-fi shows,
well, no,
huh?
I watch
oh.
other shows, but.
Now, well, The Triangle is supposed to be coming on in, they moved it up to December. Now, that looks like it's going to be a good show.
No, yeah. the show that's going to be good
Battlestar
is
Galactica.
American Inventor. With Simon from American Idol.
Yeah.
And basically, they're going to have all these people on TV that are inventors, and they make these wild, wacky projects. And he said the whole thing about it is that these people don't realize how retarded and idiotic their inventions really are.
Really? Actually, Kevin Kline is the actor I was talking about that was on My Life is a House. So,
oh, wow.
There you go. And Shadow One is saying Surface is good. Now, what's Surface? Now, that's the one. Now, which one is that now?
That's
the
one with the underwater.
Oh, it's creature. Like Sequest, right?
I don't know. I haven't seen Sequest for a long time.
Oh. Now, the Surface is that's not about a submarine, is it? No.
They went down the submarine. They found, like, a creature under the water.
Oh, okay. And I thought it was like a submarine show like Sequest was.
No, they don't do...
That's a show they should bring back, Sequest.
I liked
Sequest.
The only thing I don't like about Sequest was they took 5 minutes out of the show at the end of it every single time and had the public service announcements, don't eat dolphins.
Yeah. What's his name? The guy from the Aquatic Center.
Yeah.
But I like Sequest. I thought it was good. We've seen up these space shows. Why not go into the ocean? But then...
That was good.
They couldn't make up their mind. And then the poor guy committed suicide. Jonathan Brandis. You know, horrible.
Who was that?
He played Lucas on the show. Lucas
Walenchek.
Yeah, he committed suicide a couple years back.
Really?
Yeah. But I like Sequest. Now, Scully, what show it's not on you like to see come back?
Please.
Who?
X-Files.
Well, really? Well,
that's
besides that one.
Yeah, not besides that one. Don't say Enterprise, or we'll disconnect you.
I don't like Star Trek very much.
I liked Enterprise.
Yeah.
Come back, Odyssey 5 maybe, or Strange World. I love those two shows, and they canceled them way too soon.
I don't know. I never saw Odyssey 5.
Me neither.
Actually, sci-fi in the chat room saying Triangle is supposed to be good. I agree. I've seen the previous. That looks like I think that could turn into a series. Triangle. Have you seen the previous for Triangle, Scully?
Yeah.
What do you think
of
that?
I think it looks really good.
But the Bermuda Triangle, right?
Yeah, it looks interesting. I'd like to see it too because I actually went on the Queen Mary a long time ago, where they have filmed different things about.
Yeah, they filmed.
I thought that Unsolved Mysteries was off the air. Why do we have to keep bringing up the Bermuda Triangle?
Nah, it's like, well,
I just like it from X-Files.
Yeah, well, it's what's the premise? It's like the life in the triangle, right? Or it's what is it?
I don't know.
They're not really.
If there's something really bad that happens, like a block over, guess what? I'm just not going to go a block over.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, geez, if there's something so horribly bad about this area, why are people going there?
I don't know. Well,
it's retarded.
No, it's not people flying in. I think it's life in the triangle. I think they haven't really revealed too much about the premise of the series. But the previews look excellent.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, have you seen any sneak previews to the new season of Galactica?
Not yet, no.
No, I mean it's November. I don't know what's going on here. What do you think about the split season? You think sci-fi should keep doing that, or should they just air to 20 episodes in a row, like start off in the fall, like the rest of the networks do?
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Do you think, like, sci-fi now, they break up the seasons, 10 episodes then, 10 episodes now? Do you think they should stop that and just air all 20 in a row?
Yeah, but at least you don't have to wait as long, though, as they do some at the beginning.
That's true.
I like the split season myself.
A lot of
then
people do.
Then you can watch the repeats, though, and catch up again, I guess.
That's true. A lot of people keep saying they want a spinoff. I don't know. Maybe they could put a spinoff in between the 10 episodes. You know what I mean? Do it like that.
Why don't they just put it on a different day?
I'm saying if they're going to want to do that, maybe it'll work. Yeah, different day. You know,
or a second sci-fi channel.
Second sci-fi channel.
We could have double the horrible horror movies every week.
they don't have enough programming
Mosquito
for
the... Too! I love that show.
How about Manimal?
Oh, my God.
Manimal
no,
Return.
I want more Boa versus Pythons, too. I cannot get enough of Boa and Python movies. And then when they merged them, it was like God appeared in my TV.
Now, Shadow One says they want Space Above and Beyond to be back. Well, it pretty much is back because Galactica is almost like that.
No, it's not.
Well, it's gritty effects and everything.
Well, they were the first ones that ever like made it like, we actually make all of our equipment out of metal.
Yeah.
Everything's riveted together, and they have the problems with the air and everything like that. They're the first ones to do that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool because it was more realistic. It's what the way things are actually going to be.
Yeah, now, Scully, do you watch the other shows on Sci-Fi? Do you watch whatever the hell the Ghost, whatever is that? What is that? Ghost Hunters? I don't watch that one.
No, I haven't watched that.
Yeah, I don't know how that show's staying on air. And then Tripping the Rift, I don't know how that's staying on.
No, that's a great show.
Yeah, you watch that?
A couple times.
No, the episode where they accidentally ran over God with a space-time plane, that was probably the best episode ever.
Yeah. Saab was good. What is this? But the last episode, I don't know what they're talking about Saab for. But, Oh, Space Above and Beyond. I see.
You have issues with Saab.
That's funny as hell. And what else is about Sci-Fi Channel?
They need Firefly more.
Firefly? I think that stands a good chance that show coming back because the movie bombed.
Movie did not bomb.
It did. It didn't burn up as good as they wanted. Yeah, it didn't as good.
Yeah, well, they had very high expectations from it. They thought that it was supposed to be the science fiction 90210, which it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't supposed to be that. It was too well written.
Well, and the name. Why did they have to call it Serenity? Why come they didn't call it Firefly?
Issues with the production companies and the networks.
Ridiculous.
But the ship's name in Firefly was called Serenity.
Yeah, but I just think it should have been like Star Trek .. whatever it is, or Firefly .. Serenity. So you know it's what it was.
Yeah,
Serenity
but maybe
sounds like a.
People wouldn't have went to see it if they knew that,
Yeah.
Maybe went to see it.
Well,
anyway.
I don't know. I still think it's a good chance that Sci-Fi bringing that back as a series. Although Fox owns that.
Yeah, it's
property.
But they owned Stargate at one time too.
Yeah, so maybe they'll do like a joint.
Maybe they'll
thing.
Screw up again and give them a good series.
Yeah, they didn't do too good. Yeah, the Stargate deal with that backfired on them big time. You know, the show's on 11 years now, or 10 years. But anyway, Scully, make sure you email me your address and everything so we can send you the DVD.
Okay, we'll do that. Thank you.
You're welcome. It'll be a few days, because I have not received it yet from my cohorts here. I'm not going to say who, but somebody in the Galactica Station is supposed to send me it, but I haven't gotten it yet. But as soon as I do, I'll just turn around and remail it out to you.
Okay.
Okay, but it should be just in like a week or so, I hope. So,
okay.
All right, Scully.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Scully Girl, winner of our Battlestar Galactica Season 1 DVD. And I see the phone's still ringing for people trying to call in, but we already had the seventh caller. Thank you very much. And but it was good for her. She won. I was kind of pulling for her, because she's been, very loyal to the program.
I'm not even going to ask to copy that before you send it out. I am trying to stop my pirating ways as far as Battlestar Galactica is going because I want it to succeed.
Sci-Fi saying that Serenity didn't make back its production costs yet. Of course, the DVD sales would do well. Fox bartered Firefly to Universal. What did they exchange with Universal for, I wonder?
I don't know
about that. It'd be interesting. So anyway, thank you. Congratulations to Scully Girl, the winner of the Battlestar Galactica Season 1 DVD. Next week, Papa Joe Chevalier will be on. Woo! He does a show in front of me, so we'll have him on. And then we'll see what I can come up with for the second hour. Maybe Koenig rules or something. So I miss talking about Galactica, so maybe we'll start doing that again. Sci-Fi, sorry. As the lines are busy here, we're going